Welcome to My Worst Date. I'm Cassie.
I'm Keegan.
I'm Christina.
Okay, so we...
I like how you said that with a good smile on your face.
A little shimmy, a little shoulder shimmy. Shake.
Yeah. You're in a mood. I love it.
I know. We've been talking to contractors all morning, building the deck for my hot tub.
Really puts you in a sexy mood thinking about that hot tub.
Yeah, is that going to be in by May when I come back?
Oh my God, I hope so. I hope so. I hope so.
It's going to be so much fun.
I know.
Okay. Keegan's like dying. She's like, I have something to tell you.
Well, listen, everyone knows I've been doing so very little. In fact, I actually made myself watch something else last night just so I would have something else to say at the end of the show. Yeah. Like at the end of the show, when we talk about what we're watching, I was like, Keegan, you have to watch something else so that you can say you've watched something else. Like, you know what I mean? You can't just keep telling people like they know. However, it's really been killing me inside for a number of reasons, actually. It's been killing me inside because, like, genuinely what trash that I've just been, like, deep diving into for the last, like, couple of months, you know? But
soul hurts.
Yeah. But, like, also, like, I was going through this alone. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just like, this is old news. I'm watching old episodes of Vanderpump Rules. There's nobody to process this with me. Like, I'm going to have to get a fucking therapist so that I can just, like, talk about, I was like going on
just
Reddit,
like
looking at like old, like Reddit threads about like old episodes. So I'm just I need validated about like,
you know, you're in deep when you are searching for sub Reddit.
Yes, I know. But yeah. I was just like, look, there's no one else. I can't talk to anybody else. I can't process, you know, season 5, episode 8 with anyone because I came out like 6 years ago, you know? So I'm just like, Someone on the internet has to share my opinion, validate me on this. You know what I mean?
Okay. To be fair, I kind of do the same thing with Grey's Anatomy.
You gotta. Yeah.
I don't go to subreddits, but I'm like, I literally Googled. I was like, what is the worst season of Grey's Anatomy? Because I'm like, it's the one I'm watching right now.
Oh, Lord. But I am bursting at the seams because I am finally caught up and I am watching the recent episodes. So now I am processing this in real time. I'm watching the after show where like they kind of like comment on things that are happening. And like I'm with the fandom as it's happening now, which is just like finally. You know what I mean? And I feel like we can talk about this because we talked about Scandoval when it happened a couple of, or last year, I guess it was last year. And, you know, we were like, oh, burn it down, roast his ass, fuck this man, right? And we were all united as a fucking nation, right? We were united as a nation.
Yeah.
And people were excited for season 11. We're like, we're about to watch the rise of Ariana and the demise of this slimy little worm right here, right? Like, we were all super fucking stoked about it. And then I start watching season 11, and it is so clear to me that the producers are trying to create this like Sandoval redemption arc.
Ugh,
and it
gross.
Speaks to how shitty of a human being he is that it's not really working because like he keeps fucking sabotaging himself by being just like awful, like genuinely like a bad person. But Ariana, because this whole season was filmed like 3 months after that whole thing went down. 3 fucking months. She was with this man for 9 years.
Right.
And he had an affair with one of her closest friends for 8 fucking months. Right. That's a lot to process. So 3 months later, they're back to filming and she is rageful. Like she is fucking angry. Like she's really fucking angry.
Yeah.
She doesn't want to be around him. She doesn't want to be around people who are around him, who are trying to convince her to like, let it go and just be like, nicer to him or whatever.
That really is so bananas to me. Like as a friend, and listen, as somebody that has been through it, you know, I can't even imagine like having the people that you're around for 10, 11 years just like gaslighting you into not validate your feelings about the situation.
Right.
And to take
it's
side.
Gross. And the thing about the show is like from season one, like the misogyny on the show is pretty clear, right? Like there is always this narrative whenever the women have feelings, any feelings, like if they're upset about something, if they're angry about something, if they get too drunk and they get messy one night, it gets blown up. Like these women are just like out of control. You know what I mean? Meanwhile, the men get to do whatever the fuck they want on that show. They're fucking around. They're cheating on everybody. They're getting into fist fights. They're saying really nasty things. They're getting sloppy drunk. And it's always just kind of like, well, it's fine.
Boys, you know what I mean? Boys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so
that whole show gives you a boys will be boys vibe.
Yeah. And so
like they're just immature, like little man children.
And these men are in their 40s now. Like, be fucking for real.
I know.
Get your shit together. You know what I mean? And so it's season 11. Everybody was like, oh, we're going to have like, now is the time like for the women. Right. And it hasn't worked out that way. And not only are the producers trying to convince us that like Ariana is like, you know, just needs to move on. She's so bitter and she needs to let go of this anger. But
it happened like yesterday.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. And she's still living in the home at the time that they're filming this. And so many people are like, just move out. Even her friends on the show are
just
like, just
move
for
out.
Your own peace of mind, just move out. It's like, bitch, she has equity in that property. Any lawyer would tell you to stay. Like, you gotta be kidding me. And why don't you tell him to move out? Like, why does she have to move out? But I think that this is part of a lot. The reason why I've talked about it is one, just because I've needed to talk about it. So first of all, that. Mm-hmm. Secondly, I wanted to talk about it because I've been following it and I've been following, I can't help but like open every reel that gets suggested to me and go into the comments. And while there are a lot of like Ariana and Katie's the other one who divorced the other Tom, while there are a lot of like stands for them, there are also a lot of mostly women, men too, but like mostly women because that's the target demographic of this show, who are parroting these same talking points that, you know, like very internalized misogynistic talking points about how she needs to let everything go. They're not talking about Sandoval anymore. They're talking about Ariana's reaction and how ugly it is that she's so angry. And I'm just like, let women have fucking feelings. Well, and all I don't understand women not understanding, not being able, other women not being able to support her and like put yourself in her position and really tell yourself how you would feel.
No, and listen, bonkers. It's that curse of Serena from Handmaid's Tale, right? It's that that fucking veil over your eyes thinking that you'd have power because you're siding with the fucking patriarchy or whatever. And one of these days, those women who make comments like that, who haven't dealt with their internalized misogyny, the veil's gonna come off. Like, they fucking hate you just as much as they hate Ariana or the rest of us. You know what I mean? Like, just because
I'm convinced
out
they
here,
hate you more. Like, honestly, like I think they actually hate, I think they respect you less. Like, and that's just an opinion of mine. And like, I don't know if men would ever come out and say that, but they know they can run right over you. That's why we had this conversation about like why the red pill guys don't date the pick me girls. Like, why is Pearl on TikTok single? And it's because actually they don't respect you. Like, you're giving, because in theory, you're everything that they want, that they say
that's
that
they
want.
They want.
You know, Pearl is out here straight up saying like women don't have value anymore in society after the age of 25. And if they're not married, and I'm like, girl, look at your big old age. You're not married. You know what I mean? So I'm just like,
imagine tattling on yourself so hard.
Yeah.
And imagine it's happening. And I know I railed about this last week too, but you know, the people railing against abortion care in this country, it's just like, it's the stupidest things coming out of people's mouths. I think I heard somebody quote that like Democrats actually give birth and then kill the baby whatever. And I'm like,
I heard that
that's
too.
Actually
I
fucking murder.
Bullshit.
No one is doing that.
No,
I just can't believe the stupidity, the just rampant
that people
stupid
believe.
Bullshit. That's
well,
out
you know,
here.
This is exactly what we thought would happen. Not exactly, I guess, because it has taken turns, you know, that maybe we weren't expecting. But like, this is kind of what the fear was the second Kellyanne Conway said the phrase alternative facts. It's like once you start introducing like anything could be true and maybe conspiracy theories. And you start really embracing that as like a party and like feeding that to the masses as though like this is legitimate, then anything goes. Then all of a sudden it's like Lady Gaga is murdering babies for adrenochrome so that she can stay looking young. And I'm
like, what? Kate Middleton is getting BBLs. Like, listen, we live in
and
a
people are like, no, for real.
Wild time. Like, also,
what
birds aren't real.
Birds
aren't real. Everybody knows
this. It's scary
this.
Out there. It is genuinely so fucking scary out there. Like,
what is the wildest thing that you've heard, though? Like, I feel like there's been some real, real humdingers.
I mean, the people
who... The adrenochrome for me is always...
Same. That's what I was about to say. The fact that, like, that's not a joke... That like people truly believe that there's this like elite Hollywood cabal that like has sacrifices of babies to extract some kind of unknown substance so that everyone can cling to youth. And all the celebrities they point to, I'm like, baby, that's not adrenochrome.
That's filler.
That's filler, honey. That's Botox.
You could get that too.
You have enough money. You can look young. You can look like Cher at 82. Yeah.
Exactly.
Like, what's wrong with you?
I think for me, I actually just heard the details about the water making the frogs gay. Conspiracy theory the other day.
The Alex Jones.
Yes. So I guess the theory is that like all these fucking women have been on birth control for like 20 years and they pee and it gets into the groundwater and it's all the chemicals from our birth control. That's what's making the frogs gay.
The frogs gay.
Yeah. I was like,
we got to trace it back to the source.
Okay.
Because like if this shit comes back to like a 4chan, like really, are you going to like base your like knowledge, the scientific article of 4chan of like user 9976 or fucking whatever? Like, stop it. Stop it.
I think that one of my favorite ones from recent years has been the JFK coming back to life.
Are so right. And it's not just JFK. Yeah. It was like Prince is playing the drums or something. And you're like,
yes. Yeah.
Why wouldn't Prince be playing the guitar?
Right.
That's so weird.
It's like, it's the most fucking insane thing ever.
And
you're like, wait, what?
I've also heard some people thinking that Trump is somehow JFK, like reincarnated.
Yes.
I'm like, wait.
Despite the fact that politically they couldn't be more different.
And also, not even like, I don't know if I know how reincarnation works exactly, but I do think that one of
they were alive at the same time.
Oh my god!
Did the spirit just get transferred into his body?
Oh my god! Dude, there's
Jesus
something
weird.
What's wrong with us? I'm concerned. I'm genuinely just like, and you know, we talked about this briefly on the show too, but
it's because they put lead in the Lunchables.
Oh my god!
That's why
That's
all
not
of
what
this
I was
is gonna
say, but you are absolutely right, and we can talk about that because absolutely, what the fuck? A child of the '90s, Lunchables were where it was fucking at. We shoveled those processed like charcuterie boards into our little mouths, and like it got weirder and weirder. And I was here for the fucking ride. I was like, cold pizza down, like cold.
No, that's
nachos,
where you caught me out.
I was like, and the nachos were so funny because they were like tiny, tiny little chips. Like they looked like they were like the size of a quarter. And then they gave you like cold cheese and cold salsa. So the way that your little fingers just got coated in like cheese and salsa while you were trying to like dip your tiny chips.
You're just like, wah, wah, wah.
And just like licking. I'm sure teachers at that time watching all these like savage little children suck Velveeta off their grimy little fingers at lunch.
Lead filled Velveeta.
There's so much to talk about with the Lunchables situation because, yes, a report came out recently that there is a not insignificant amount of lead in Lunchables.
Yes.
I think I saw that they said that it is the highest allowed amount of lead to be consumable, which, first of all,
why
is that? And then also, it's the highest allowable amount in California, because California actually has like rules about this kind of thing. Apparently, there are states that don't have rules about how much fucking lead you can put in your food.
Hey, you want to go further down the rabbit Christ. Hole? There's a reason why we have unleaded gasoline. And that's the fact that gasoline, up until like the 70s, had fucking lead mm-hmm. in it.
Everything
and so you
had
think
lead in it.
All those, these boomers running around today just raw dogging lead air like for their entire fucking life.
This is what's wrong. Oh no.
And they're all running our country.
Yes. Yep. Yes, they are.
That's fun.
Yeah.
That's a good thing to think about. but they're not taking the lead out. So first of all, that's happening. Secondly, there's like
they're not.
I don't think so.
They're like we know this is a problem. We're not.
We don't fucking
it.
Care.
Fuck.
Secondly, they were also like there's an obscene amount of sodium in them, like an obscene amount. Like it's like triple your daily amount of sodium for these little kids are just like shoveling in. You know what I mean? And the CEO. Jesus. Of the Lunchable Corporation, whoever owns that, it's probably like Oscar Mayer or something. But like, he was basically like, look,
Oscar,
we're not putting
Mayer
a gun
himself.
To their head, to these kids' head. Yeah. They don't have to eat the Lunchables if they don't want to. It's like, what
I mean,
a
but if that's what's packed for you as a kid, you don't have an option. And also, too, nobody's been fully given the information. So you're just told, oh, this is a great, easy way to give my kid lunch. You don't know the facts.
Well, yeah.
And that's not...
And you're making it addictive, because that's why you're putting that much sodium in it, is because it's addictive to do that. And then there are also some... They lobbied to get Lunchables in school lunches, like as part of a lunch program. So I'm like, you are kind of forcing children to eat these. Like,
man, I mean, if you go down the rabbit hole for like the food here in America, it's just, it's so sad. Like
awful.
You won't ever want to eat anything because it all fucking sucks here. It really
does. You see, this is why we don't need conspiracy theories, because reality is enough. You know what
exactly.
I mean?
Exactly.
Just like the reality of there being like an acceptable amount of lead in children's food. that you don't need a conspiracy. That's the truth.
Like, yep. To be fair, I've not seen one Lunchable in Germany yet. So
that's probably good. That's probably good.
Yeah.
RIP Lunchables. I don't want to know what us children of like the 80s and 90s were eating. Because like, you remember those little fruit juices that came in barrels that had like
the foil top?
I wonder what was in those. It was
have
just
you tasted
straight,
them
like,
as an adult?
It tasted a little like foil. It tasted a little bit like poison,
it
if
I'm honest.
It
tastes like red dye number 7 or whatever.
It's got like a sharpness to it that I'm like, this is a beverage.
And we were like, num, num,
shouldn't
num, num, num,
be
num,
that
num.
Sharp.
Yep. Oh my God.
Oh man.
Like Go-Gurts.
The red one.
Go-Gurt. No.
Gushers?
Oh, fucking Gushers. Those were the tits though. I'm not going to lie. They all stuck together and you put just like a giant glob into your mouth. Amazing. What a good time.
Gross.
What a fun time before we thought about...
Wait,
for children.
Didn't we hear something about Juicy Fruit too? Didn't they come out with something about?
I'm not going to lie, Juicy Fruit
well?
Really does give a vibe that there's stuff in, that there's cardboard
it's
in there.
Poison.
Yeah, like
it's poison.
Juicy Fruit tastes good for about 3.6 milliseconds before it literally. It's just like the flavor is there, and then it was like, but was it?
Yeah,
but what?
It's the LaCroix of chewing gum. Yeah,
I
actually heard they're phasing out my poison of choice, which is Diet Coke, because it is.
They can't do it. They can't do it. The nation will not survive it. Like
it
losing Diet Coke,
1,000% poison. There's many studies proving it. They still haven't gotten rid of it because people that drink Diet Coke.
Are
so ride or die.
Yeah. Yes. You can't. Yeah. No, I like, look, our nation has been able to survive a lot of things. I don't think it will survive getting rid of Diet Coke. I think the nation will burn to the ground. That is a bipartisan issue. Yeah.
The revolt. That is the revolt.
You can't do it, man.
That happens.
Every single person I know who drinks Diet Coke is like,
let's
religious
start the rumor
it.
That it's the Republicans that are trying to take it away from us.
Yes.
So let's start that. Yeah.
Yes.
You know
they're
the Republicans
coming for your
are trying
Diet
to take,
Coke.
That's right. Next thing you know, you're not even going to be allowed to drink Diet Coke. Thanks a lot, Republicans. You know what is funny though? In Germany, I've not seen one Diet Coke, but Coke Zero, the way people drink Coke Zero, I literally work with two people who I can watch them drink like those, what is it, like a liter, I guess? A mm-hmm. liter, Kala? Mm-hmm. Like, of...
Is that better than Diet Coke? Is it like, is it better for you?
I don't know. I don't think it can be. Can't be good.
So I have had Coke Zero. It tastes like a weirder, flatter Coke. It doesn't, as far as I know, I think it doesn't have aspartame in it. It's a different sweetener because it's the aspartame in Diet Coke that's like 100% that's going to give you cancer. And everyone's just like, oh, that's a problem for future me. Just
absolutely.
That's so true.
But yeah, that's the reason why you don't see Diet Coke in other countries, because they're like, fuck that. That's fucking poison. But the aspartame is the thing that makes Diet Coke Diet Coke. Like, that's what we're all like, that burning cancer that you feel.
Is aspartame addictive? Like, is it addictive in itself? Is that what it is? Because I'm serious. Like, I don't see anyone ride as hard for any other soda but Diet Coke. Like, Diet Coke, people really will like ride so fucking hard for it, and I'm like, what is in there? What are they putting actual cocaine but only in Diet Coke? Only in Diet
Coke. Original formula.
Also, let's be for real, there's the top of the charts is McDonald's Diet Coke, and then you have the can Diet Coke, then you have
then the bottle,
like any fountain Diet Coke like that you can get. And
where does glass bottle fit?
You know,
can you get glass Diet Coke?
I haven't had a glass Diet Coke.
I've only ever seen the glass bottles for regular Coke. I've never seen it for Diet Coke.
You can get Coke Zero in a glass bottle. Wow.
You know, I feel
they love Coke Zero.
Speaking of Vanderpump Rules, like, I really feel like we should
going back to
we should start doing these like manufactured forced get togethers. Like, I just watched an episode where one of the characters had a water tasting, and Christina, you should host a Diet Coke tasting, and we'll go to McDonald's. We'll get a McDonald's Diet Coke. We'll get a canned Diet Coke, and we'll have a tasting party. We'll swish it around in our mouths, figure out which Diet Coke is the best one.
I am 100% sure that my ranking is correct, but like the plastic bottle Diet Coke, the 20-ounce is definitely like the bottom of it. And also like, please, can I rally for people to stop saying, is Pepsi okay?
When you're like, no, is the answer 100% of the fucking time.
But I love Pepsi. I think you guys are both wrong.
Well, I
that's
don't.
Cool.
I don't really like soda very much in general. They are different. Like, Pepsi is sweeter, and Coke is like has more of a bite to it. It's like spicier. It's like more fizzy. You know what I mean? They are slightly different. They're not the same.
Spicy.
They're not the same. You know, okay. I think that this means we have to fuck, marry, kill soda. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. Oh, man. Okay. All right. Well, then I have to choose Pepsi because I put my, I put my money where my mouth
is. Of course.
You know?
Okay. I'm doing Diet Coke.
Diet Coke.
Somebody has to do Mountain Dew.
Oh Lord, I can't. It can't be me.
The chef, like the
you know
the,
what?
The line cook
of sodas.
Someone's got to do like LaCroix or something, or a bubbly.
Oh, but we did sparkling waters.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
we
right.
We fucked Mary killed sparkling waters on their own because I don't really drink soda. I do drink like LaCroix and bubbly and things like that. But when I was a kid, and I don't think this is going to be popular, I think I'm actually going to go with Mountain Dew. But when I was a kid, I was a Sprite girly. I was like ride or die for Sprite.
100% you should Sprite.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. Let's go Sprite. Sprite is like refreshing, lemon lime.
Yeah. None of us want anything to do with Mountain Dew.
I think you said boring.
None of us. It's true.
We like that's the thing. Mountain Dew it would be fun to discuss because it is absolutely the line cook of sodas.
If Mountain Dew was a person, it would be Pete Davidson.
Pete Davidson is like Mountain Dew, like one of the special Mountain Dew flavors.
A poor Pete Davidson.
Yes, because regular Mountain Dew is like in a dirty white tank top. You know what I mean? Like like, you know.
And he wants to be a professional dirt bike racer.
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah, 100%. Pete
or
Davidson
rapper.
Is one of the many Mountain Dew varieties.
SoundCloud rapper.
He's like, code zero, code
red.
Code red
or... Code red.
Code red, exactly.
Okay. All right. Sprite, all right. Coke, and Pepsi.
Diet,
all right.
Diet Coke.
Diet Coke. Very specifically.
Ugh. Okay. All right. Well, I think I know what I'm going to do.
All right.
I think that first and foremost, I have to kill Diet Coke. And here's why. Because when I think of Diet Coke, I think of Diet Grandma. Mm. And I think Diet Coke might be too old for me, if I'm honest.
Wow. I actually think Diet Coke is that gym bro, that calorie counter, that fucking...
Yeah, like, I was going to say Diet Coke is like the hot... To me, Diet Coke is like hot, young California girl who like wants to drink soda but doesn't want the calories.
Meal prep.
She puts a straw in her Diet Coke can.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Very, very meal preps. It's very like macro... Yeah. Carbs.
But to what
I'm not getting.
But to
that
what you're saying,
Coke.
Cassie, like I think Diet Coke. Diet Coke is multi generational.
Five Diet Cokes a day.
Yeah.
And she's like, they are also just, it's just they're the kind of person who counts calories, is probably also might be vegan, but chain smokes and drinks Diet Coke.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're not actually healthy.
Yeah. Diet Coke is a drink of hypocrisy. It really is.
Yes.
It is. It's to give the air that you give a fuck. You know what I mean? But it's just like, you don't. You're still at McDonald's like the rest of us. Yep. Stop
you
it right now.
You fucking don't.
Right.
You're not better than me, mm-hmm. Diet Coke. Mm-hmm. I can't fuck around with mm-hmm. Diet Coke. No, I got to get rid mm-hmm. of him. I am going to, gosh, you know what? I'm going to marry Pepsi. Reliable, mm-hmm. classic.
Sweet.
It
sweet
tastes
to you.
Good. Yeah, it's sweet to you, but it's not like, not going to, I don't know. Like, I just feel like it's, you know, of the healthy cigarettes, this is the healthiest cigarette I could know.
Pepsi is a modern classic,
I
feel like.
It's just a classic, right? It's a modern classic, mm-hmm. you're right.
Yeah.
Well, and also Pepsi will be really good to you because, like, seriously, like, it gets, like, shit on. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yes.
And when you love Pepsi, Pepsi mm-hmm. will love you back
Pepsi's going to love you back.
Yeah.
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 Pepsi's going to take you on a nice trip mm-hmm. for your birthday, take you out for a nice dinner, you know, mm-hmm. like it's going to have candles out and stuff. Here's the thing with Sprite.
It's cool though. Sprite is cooler. Sprite is the coolest of the bunch.
Is Sprite too cool for me? Is that what I'm saying?
You know, I feel like Sprite,
am I gonna fuck Sprite? Yeah,
Sprite is like a
Sprite.
Surfer. I think you know what I mean. Yeah. Like Sprite lives in San Diego. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like Sprite might have mm-hmm. some sun bleached tips.
He's
I feel
gonna
like.
Put you on.
Sprite has a bit of an accent, but you can't really tell where it's from.
Yes, Sprite is actually like knows about this band. He was there at their very first concert and like turns you on to them. Yeah, Sprite mm-hmm. has. Definitely up on pop culture. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to fuck Sprite too.
Yeah. Right. Oh, I'm going to fuck Sprite. It's not a taste that I want in my repertoire on a regular basis, mm-hmm. but every now and then you're like, huh? Forgot about you, Sprite. Shit.
I'm going to fuck Sprite
about
and
you.
I'm going to marry Diet Coke because listen,
of course you are.
I fucking love a hypocrite. I really do. A hypocrite that knows they're a hypocrite. You know?
Yeah.
It's like, self-aware. I do think Diet Coke is self-aware. I do.
It knows who they are, you know?
And they're popular anyway. It's like one of those people you're just like, you know, why do we all like Jeff? And like no one can put their finger on it, but you all want to hang out with Jeff anyway.
Jeff is so great.
He's just so great. He's so cool. Yeah. I'm going to fuck Diet Coke. For that reason, because mm-hmm. I feel like Diet Coke, he's self-aware. He knows he's shitty. Like, you know, he may or may not call you back. And you know that going in. And like, that's okay. Mm-hmm. Like, and I think that the sex will be good. I think it will be a dickmatized situation because people get really fucking addicted to Diet Coke. Mm-hmm. So that's a fuck buddy situation with Diet Coke.
That's a catch and release situation. Yeah, you got to block immediately.
Yeah,
for your
you
own do, good.
Or you're gonna get embarrassing about it. Yeah. So I'm.
Hey, I haven't heard from you for a while,
yeah,
Diet Coke.
Yeah, yeah.
How are you
you're
doing?
Gonna hate yourself about the way you feel about that if you let it. You gotta just like go in clear minded. This is a one and done. You know what I mean? Mm.
Well, maybe Diet Coke's the line cooks.
For sure. Yeah, actually, you know,
Diet
Coke is like the head cook, and then Mountain Dew is underneath him working at the restaurant.
No,
you know,
I definitely think Diet Coke works in marketing for sure.
You're right.
Yeah,
Diet Coke,
you're right.
Diet Coke is like a
social media manager.
Yeah. Oh man.
Absolutely. You are right. It's a different kind of scumbag. 100%. Yes. I am gonna marry Sprite. You know, I think Sprite's a cool guy. I think we're gonna have a good time. I think you're gonna have to, he might be a little bit of a free spirit. You're gonna have to like try and figure out how to wrangle him in a little bit. But once you figure that out, like Sprite will go like, you know, van lifing across the country with you.
Yes.
Sprite is down for an adventure. And I'm kinda into that life. I'm kinda down for it. Sprite will just like out of the blue bring a puppy home, you know? And like I'm like, all right, let's go for that, you know.
Sprite.
And then
you brought me a puppy.
Oh, sold. And then Pepsi, I'm fine with Pepsi, but the thing about Pepsi for me is, and the same thing with regular Coke as well, I sometimes will have a craving for it every now and again, like once in a blue moon, I'm like, I want a soda and I want like that specific kind of sticky brown soda. And so I'll get either a Pepsi or a Coke. I'll drink half the can and then the headache and like the sugar high will set in for me to such a degree that I'm like, I don't feel good. I don't like, it's too sweet.
You think
Pepsi
too sweet. Will be clingy.
Yeah, yeah, it's gonna be a little too much. A little too much is gonna stay with me, you know, like in a way that I'm like, I don't want to be
like,
involved.
No, I said we're done here, sir. This date's over.
Yes, so you know, I will, you know, I'll friend Pepsi, but I don't want to marry him or her.
Yeah,
marry them.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, Pepsi's that person that's just like, oh, are you sure we can go like, you know, see a movie or like, blah, blah, and you're like, whoa, like
it's a lot. Good. You're coming on strong.
Yeah. We got it. We're done, so.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, our babies would be so cute together. What?
Abort.
Oh God. Well, you guys want to take five and then we'll come back with stories?
Yes.
Sounds good.
And we're back. Okay, Christina, kick us off.
Okay. I have a listener story, so I will kick it off. Subject is my last date. So,
like last ever or your most recent date? Those are two.
Nope.
It could be either.
Or both.
Yes.
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 She says, hello, ladies. I love your pod. You're all so funny and your commentary is always spot on. Thank you. This is a bad date that wasn't horrible compared to some I've heard on here. Well, that's a tough bar.
A high bar.
We've had some really bad ones. But it is my personal last straw. At the time, I was 37 and had been in serious relationships back to back starting at age 18, including an abusive marriage from 23 to 33, followed by a couple of relationships right after my divorce with men I'd been friends with for a long time. I told you, sharks. Sharks come out of the water.
Yep. There you go.
All very stressful and ending badly. I took a year after that to go to therapy, recover, and reflect, then decided to try Tinder for the first time. I was extremely cautious since I have two kids and didn't want to invite men into my life before a proper vetting. I eventually ended up matching with a man who was a high school band teacher in a neighboring town.
Sorry, you said vetting, and I thought you said a proper bedding.
That's what I thought she said too at first. It took me a second.
She's like, I got to dick them down first. Like, oh, Jesus. Then I'll know.
Got to make sure it's worth the effort before we get started. That's one way to do it, and I'm not mad at it. Like, you know.
I wasn't either, but I was like,
priorities.
Oh, okay.
It took me a second to come back, and I was like, oh, vetting, 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 not bedding. Got it.
Yeah, they don't all do things like I do. So, so we had good conversation and interests in common that are not typical for men in my rural area, where all the men love to shoot gun and chug Bush Light.
Shoot gun.
Yes.
He enjoys classical and jazz music, Broadway plays, and historical topics. His only concern for me was making sure that I knew he was a bigger guy and had always struggled with his weight. I assured him that that was of no concern to me. I eventually gave him my number and we set up a dinner date. It was a great date. We ended up talking for like 3 hours. We had another dinner date and a golf date after that. Both great. He then asked me on a date for a Friday night that week, but said he had to attend a high school football game to direct the pep band and asked if I would go to the game with him. I was still working on my people pleasing, so even though I found it odd, I said sure. But over the next few days, I thought about it and started to panic because I'd been on 3 dates with this man and he wanted me to go to what was essentially a work function with all of his high school students, colleagues, and possibly students' parents there staring at me, probably thinking, who's the band teacher's new girlfriend?
Yeah, I wouldn't want to do that either. Like, you know, it's not the same as meeting your like children, but meeting someone's students, I feel like is a big, it's similar to me. It's the same kind of energy where I'm just like, I don't want to be involved with the lives of your students until I know that I'm really like, we are really doing this thing, you know?
Yeah. So I got to be honest with you. I didn't even like going to high school football games when I was in high school, so that's just me. Plus he'd be working and I'd have to sit in the stands alone awkwardly at a high school game, and I had flashbacks.
It's always cold because football season is during the coldest fucking time,
and
you know,
those metal benches, they're so cold and they hurt your butt. I'd have to sit in the stands alone awkwardly, and I had flashbacks of all the times I'd gone to weddings in my 20s with guys who were groomsmen, spending half the night alone sitting next to people I'd never met. As a person with anxiety, the potential for small talk with strangers had me spiraling. So I asked if he maybe wanted to just come to my house for a movie after the game instead. He said sure and showed up around 9, saying he'd have to leave by 11 as he had an early morning. He was also a volleyball coach and had practice with the team. Okay, cool. First thing he did when he got to my house was say, "This is actually a cute little house you got here. I could probably sell mine easily now. Do you mind if I move this footstool?"
What?
No.
What?
Wait, what?
Then just moved my furniture before I could say anything. Then proceeded to sit down and put his feet up on said footstool barefoot as he'd been wearing sandals. Was already weirded out by his comments sounding like he wanted to move into my house. But when I tell you this man's feet genuinely look like Frodo's feet in The Hobbit. I'm not even joking a little bit.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Hairy, gnarly, and the longest ass yellow toenail.
No. Stop it. Even Frodo had like his toenails weren't long. At least he kept that shit trimmed. Stop it right now. We've talked about feet before.
He couldn't help some of that, of course, but the hair and unclipped toenails were heinous. Then he looks at the TV and said, "Oh, is it that baking show you were talking about that you like?" When I said yes, he proceeded to go through every person on the show and critique their appearance in great detail. For example, look at that guy's teeth. You sure can tell he's British. Honey.
Damn. Apologies to our British listeners right now.
I know.
I'm in London right now. I hope nobody heard that.
No. He then asked if I had a garbage to throw his gum in, so I said, "Yeah, in the bathroom." When he got up from the couch, he pushed off so forcefully that I heard a loud crack. I gasped and looked at him, and he flippantly said, "Oh man, did I break your couch? Sorry." And then threw his gum away and sat back down with another crack as I stammered. Because he had made such a big deal about his weight, I didn't want to say anything.
Oh, no.
Making it seem like that's why the couch cracked, so he would feel bad. And also, but I was very...
The reason why it cracked is irrelevant. You still owe me a new couch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, listen.
Oof. Yeah. I was also suddenly very aware that I had a man in my house that I didn't know very well who was at least twice my size. So I sat there awkwardly.
Oof, as, that feeling.
Yeah. As he started talking about something else. Meanwhile, this is where the story like flips for me. I definitely want to hear what you guys think. Meanwhile, his phone had been blowing up the whole time, and he finally said he had to respond to a couple quick texts from his students.
Mm-mm. I knew you were going to say that. Uh-uh. No. There's no reason for that. I had teachers in high school who I, you know, really, really liked, who I felt like were, you know, kind of mentor type teachers who I could go to after class to talk to or whatever. There are healthy boundaries that you have with your students. Never once did they give me their phone number. Never. Like, and if they needed to communicate with me, like in that way, they would go through my parents. Stop it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
I only one time in all of my history of school had anybody, like, I stayed the night at one of my teacher's houses because we were going to an event early the next morning. My parents knew, everybody knew. It was one time. It was totally not awkward, but I'm like, I still didn't know her personal number. My parents contacted her. My parents had the connection. And I didn't
same
set
thing.
It up.
When I was in fifth grade, my fifth grade teacher had her stepdaughter came to visit her, you know, husband's daughter who was around our age. And like she'd brought her around the school a few times, like was just trying to get her to like make some friends. So there were a couple of like me and like a couple of us like over the summer, like not even during the school year, stayed the night with her, like as like a sleepover at her house, but it was my teacher's house. So that did happen one time. But again, same thing. I didn't communicate. I didn't work out the details of that. My mom worked out the details of that. Like, it's very weird to
this
be texting
icky.
your students like this.
I hate this.
Mind you, this was about 10 p.m. on a Friday night that he's getting messages. And then he tells me proudly how he has a strong rule of not accepting Facebook or Snapchat requests until students graduate. All the while,
you don't need to be on. First of all, you don't need to be on Snapchat.
Yourself on the back.
Thank you.
First of all. Why? Second of all, don't pat yourself on the back for that, bro.
Right.
After
having watched that Betrayed show, like, you know, listening, the one that was based on that podcast, where that's kind of what he did. He would like, right after they graduated, started following them on Facebook. And then it was like, oh, well, they're not my student anymore. So I can DM them on Facebook and shit like that. Like, nah, dude, there's boundaries. You have to have real clear boundaries.
So gross.
When I said, isn't that blurring lines giving students your phone number? He brushed it off, saying all the parents were made aware that he gave out his number. Not me as a parent. Let me tell you. I'd be like, for why? No.
Well, I mean, and also made aware is different than asked permission. Like, you're not giving my kid your number without fucking telling me about it first. And then you have to tell me later that, like, oh, by the way, I handed my number out to all the kids. Like, dude, because if you'd asked me my permission, I would have told you no.
Yeah. You don't have anything to say to my child. Yeah. So finally, he said he had to go and I was relieved. I texted him the next day with a polite message to say sorry, but I wouldn't be able to see him anymore.
Can you Venmo me for the couch, please?
Yes, seriously. Yeah.
Here's my Venmo information.
Asking why. Apple Cash, Apple Pay. Yeah. So to keep it simple and not bring up every red flag of the evening, I eventually just replied saying he'd broken my couch and not offered to pay or fix it. He responded with a very roller coaster text back and forth between saying he knew the couch broke and apologized, saying he'd fix it, but then saying he didn't really know at the time and I should have said something. He followed that up immediately with another text that was a whole paragraph that started out with, but also, I can't believe you're blaming me for this because you could have. I stopped reading right there.
That's right.
And deleted Bye-bye. His number.
Yeah, exactly. It's not worth it.
No.
That's not worth it. I'll get a new couch. It's like, to get out of this conversation, I'll put in the money to fix my own fucking couch. Like, goodbye.
Yeah. That was 3 years ago. I haven't been on a date since and recently turned 40. The positive outcome of that night is that I finally gave myself permission to stop dating and live my best peaceful single life with my kids, hobbies, friends, and pets. And it truly is a relief to not have a man stressing me out or causing problems and fucking up my life on the daily.
Congratulations.
Cheers. Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah.
If this podcast does anything, it'll help you know that you're not missing anything. That's for fucking sure.
Truly.
Oh, Jesus.
My God.
Ugh. All right. Well, it says, this was 15 years ago and alcohol caused the worst day ever.
Oh, well,
I meant,
seems to be a recurring thing that happens.
I don't think I need to say more. I think that just, Got it. The statement has been said. I met a girl while fairly drunk. I asked her out to lunch the next day and she said, yes, I barely remember most of this, but the next morning, somehow I recall setting a date with a cute girl I spent a ton of time talking to the night before. At the restaurant, there's no cute girl in sight. I'm flagged over by someone who's not really my type, but hey, I must have really liked her to ask her out and have woken up excited. So the next 75 to 90 minutes of my life are hell.
Oh.
She spent a good chunk of time telling me what an ass I am, that being drunk isn't attractive, the meal I ordered doesn't look good, and how she doesn't like dogs. I have two.
She said we can call it right there. Like,
yeah, I also,
we don't know.
Yeah, if they met like while they're drinking the night before, then you can't come in like Lady Temperance the next day.
Exactly. Like, exactly. Fucking,
right.
Like you didn't have to show up to this date, girl. Yeah. Like you knew that honestly. He drank because you met him while he was drinking. It's not like he hid something from you.
Right.
I can't believe you. She agreed to go out with me because I was cute and seemed earnest. Apparently, I asked her three times before she said yes.
The entire you go out with me? No, seriously, come out with me.
No, seriously, I need you to go out with me.
I think that would make someone less attractive to me if they wouldn't.
Oh, 100%.
Like if they kept asking, I'd be like, it was a no before, it's a fuck no now.
Yeah, you know? It's absolutely not. Yeah, the entire date, she's looking everywhere except at me or scratching the wax off the wood table and flicking it on the window.
Stop.
What the fuck?
Oh, God.
Being a somewhat broke dude in my mid-20s, I was also taken aback that she ordered enough food for three people. She got an app, main, and dessert at lunch. We said goodbye with a handshake, realizing we were not right for each other in the slightest. A few hours later, a mutual friend, a friend of a friend of a friend, called and told me that the girl said I was awful. I talked about myself. I didn't eat enough. Still looked hungover, etc. Apparently, we were each other's worst dates.
Jesus.
Oh my God. Dude, that picking the table got to me because like whenever I had a bad date, my thing was I would peel the labels off of beer bottles.
Yeah.
First of
you're
all,
just fiddling around, like just like anxious fiddling.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Where it was just like, oh, I hate this and I can't do anything but peel the label off this beer bottle right now.
You're like, I got nothing. Uncomfy. I can't give a thing here.
Okay. I was living in a smallish town where if you wanted to date, well, beggars can't be choosers. I was set up with this hockey bro who was pretty popular in town, but God, I can't comprehend why. It was basically like talking to Ryan Lochte. Who was Ryan Lochte?
He was the swimmer that was on Michael Phelps'
That's
team.
Right.
He did end
That's
up
what I thought.
Having a reality show or something. And I think that she brings him up in order to call him dumb.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I think I remember when that whole thing was going on. Like he's one of those who's just like, just you don't need to say anything. Just yeah. You're good at swimming.
Shut your mouth.
Yeah. Shush. Okay. Right. Okay. So, and I wasn't any better. I had just read a really good book on the Vietnam War and raved about it chapter by chapter for the duration of our second date. That's me with Vanderpump Rules. That's me with Vanderpump Rules. I'm just like, and then in season six, and they're like,
meanwhile,
oh my
God.
They're
peeling the label off their fucking beer bottle.
But she's doing it with they're the like, Vietnam War. That's horrible. Yeah.
She's like, have you watched the Ken Burns documentary about country music?
Cringe. He could not have been any more bored. So yes, here we were, two people who wanted things to work out, but goddamn, were we ever oil and water. One night, we drove into the city. I thought, tonight's the night. So I wore a bra that was pretty but massively uncomfortable. We're at a restaurant. I am totally changing my game and letting him do all the talking, what there was of it, and basically just fawned over him all night. I leaned forward, felt a sharp twinge, but ignored it. Eventually, my side felt cold, and I noticed his sentences getting even more slow, amazingly enough, and him just looking very awkward. 15 minutes later, a server comes up to me saying, "Oh my God, are you okay?" I look down and the right side of my blouse is seeping with blood. Hockey bro had just watched in awkward silence for however long as strips of blood formed around his date's rib cage and didn't say one word.
What? What?
The underwire of this motherfucking expensive bra snapped at such an angle that it pierced my skin. It didn't hurt, but just bled like the dickens. I have no idea how it drew the amount of blood that it did. It looked like I'd been knifed. I kept laughing it off and was making jokes, desperately hoping someone would laugh along. Nope, just horrified, awkward stares. I had to take the underwire out in the bathroom, so I exited the restaurant with clumps of bloody paper towels and two very differently supported boobs. Hockey bro drives me to the medical center, says he's parking the car, and never comes back.
I'll be right back. I'm just gonna punch somebody.
Seriously, he abandoned me in a different city at 11 p.m. at night.
No.
He later said that he came back but couldn't find me in the waiting room. Bullshit, buddy.
Bullshit.
So a few hours later, I'm bandaged up after a whopping one stitch. One stitch is actually quite a lot for the fact that an underwire caused that damage to you.
That. I'm going to sue that underwire or the bra company.
Jesus, right? Didn't own a cell phone, so I'm in the waiting room by the payphone, flipping through the white pages, wondering who on earth am I going to call. Still in my bloody shirt with injured people giving me weirded out side glances, and this guy offers to let me use Google Maps on his smartphone. I had one friend in the city, and I knew where she lived from visiting before, but I didn't know her number offhand. So I was just hoping she'd let me crash at her place for the night. I write
so awkward.
It's a horrible situation. This is a nightmare. Knock. I would have an anxiety attack if this happened to me. I really would.
I know.
I'd
that
be crying.
We're just like, you know,
you're covered in blood after like midnight.
Your
showing
date
up.
Abandoned you at the hospital. That's so fucked up.
Is there not a taxi?
Well, okay. So she says this guy offers to let me use Google Maps on his smartphone. She had a friend in the city. I write down the Google Maps route and run out to catch the last bus of the evening. Now you're on the bus.
Oh, no.
Like,
oh,
girl.
No. Oh, no.
I'd ask that man. I'd be like, I'm so sorry. Can you just like lend me $20 so that I can take a taxi? Exactly. Like, I'm like, I don't want to. I've had a night. I don't want to get.
Now you're getting on, get like, on the bus. On the bus with a bloody shirt.
Oh, no.
No. I catch it, fortunately. Thank God I had change that night. I never do. So she did. I'm guessing she didn't have money for a taxi. She had like enough change to like pay for the bus. And I get off at the right stop and walk the rest of the way. It's in the suburbs on the edge of the city. So I'm walking. All the streets look safe. But then the street lights appear less and less. And suddenly I'm really at the edge of the urbanized city. What I didn't know beforehand was that Google Maps will use trails and pathways and all kinds of nature's little shortcuts as a route option. So here I am at like 1 a.m. walking through this pitch black hiking trail through the woods.
This is a fucking horror movie. Yes. I am terrified.
Yes.
And we're talking about a relatively underdeveloped part of Canada with just the moon, the stars, and surprisingly bright white plane contrails for light. Hyperventilating, I'm thinking, this is how women get murdered. This is how women get murdered.
Mm-hmm. God,
I had a pen.
Bears? Like, what?
Yes. I had a pen out for protection, using my other hand to cup my boob because it hurts me a bit when it's not supported. I have never in all my life been more alert and tense than that walk. I see some lights in the distance, and that's when I notice all the jackrabbits. There are tons and tons of jackrabbits.
Oh my God.
Oh, the detail's so fucking funny. It's 1 a.m. You're terrified. And there's just like an army of jackrabbits.
What in the fucking Watership Down is happening right now?
Oh, but wow. She's far more logical than me, because I'd be like, that's fucking weird and creepy. Like hundreds of little bitty eyes staring at you. But what she says is, and I immediately get 10 times more nervous because where there's jackrabbits, there's coyotes. That's a smart thing to think of. And right when I thought coyote, I heard a whine about 15 feet from me in the brush. I knew that there were houses under the hills, but that whine sure as fuck sounded right there. It was so comical. The timing was movie perfect. I immediately sprint like a bat out of hell towards the lights.
Oh, no.
And I'm no runner, so my wee little heart is just... given her.
Oh my God. It's just like clutching one supported boob running
a pen
the
in the other hand.
It's just one boob up and down flopping all over the place. One supported. So, oh my God.
I broke through the trees and up ahead, amid darkened auto shop buildings and industrial factories, was the gleaming glow of a 24-hour Tim Hortons. This is the most Canadian story in the fucking world.
My ever.
God. Seriously.
It's hilarious. And then it was funny. All of it. The whole night was just hysterical to me. I stumbled inside. The poor cashiers just blinked at me. I looked like I'd been assaulted and left for dead. She's bleeding. One boob is at like her belly button. She's been running. She's sweating.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, no.
I could just hear the like door chime too. And she just rushes in.
She's out of breath. She's like...
She's bloody. Just what the fuck?
Oh my God. I straightened myself out, told the story, and we all had a good laugh. I ended up staying most of the night sipping hot chocolate, totally unwilling to go outside again. One of the girls hung out with me on her break, and we got chummy, both being the same age and both sort of depressed about fucking up our lives.
Oh no.
Nothing bonds you more. You're just like... and feeling apathetic about our futures. And in the morning, she and her mom drove me all the way back to my town. Fucking hockey bros.
Yeah.
Oh, my no.
God.
That is fucked up, dude. Listen, you cannot abandon your fucking date at the hospital.
I'm going to go find parking.
What is wrong with you? You just watched her bleed out for 20 minutes before you did anything.
Yeah, well, he didn't even. I'm like, what would have happened if the server hadn't sent anything?
Right, exactly.
You know what I mean?
I feel like it reminds me of Tommy Boy when he's like, no, I don't see anything. The waiter comes over. What happened to your face? I told you.
Oh, this poor girl. Like, just what a nightmare. I would just, my anxiety could never. You're having to walk through like back trails, not knowing where you're going at 1 a.m. with a bunch of jackrabbits around.
No, my God. Oh my God. An army of jackrabbits. Jesus. All right. Well, you guys want to take 5 and then we'll come back with the tainted love?
Yes.
That sounds good. Cool. And we're back.
Okay. I am very excited to tell you this story. I actually put some effort into crafting the narrative.
Uh-oh.
Oh, and wow.
I'm going to take you on a little journey. Okay.
I'm excited. Oh, I'm intrigued.
Maybe the coolest sentence that I've ever opened a tainted love with.
Indeed.
Okay.
16-year-old Catherine Danino went to Chicago in November of 1926 to borrow a gun.
Oh.
Doof.
It's the beginning of a film noir.
Mm-hmm. Using the last of her savings, she then traveled to New York and rented a room, then began her mission to find and kill Luigi Fino.
Luigi. What did he do?
What have you done, Luigi?
4 years earlier, So you can do the math there. Catherine was a 12-year-old child living in Harlem's Little Italy. Her father had died and her mother, Mary, ran a boarding house.
I hate this.
I don't like where this is going.
I hate this.
Yep. And worked in a factory with Catherine's older siblings, Julia Salvatore and Rose. Mary's uncle Luigi Fino, a handsome blonde Italian, came to stay with them as he worked quietly as a tile setter to support his wife and kids back in Italy. So even though it's Catherine's mother's uncle, he's actually significantly younger than Mary is.
Okay.
Family.
So how old is he at about this time? He's what, in his 20s?
Probably, yeah.
Ish.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't have a lot of information about how old, but yeah, he's older. He's old enough. So
older than 12.
Older than 12, exactly. He's got a wife and kids back in Italy. So whatever appropriate age.
So he's 14 at least.
14. Yeah, it is.
In 1921 or whatever.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, all seemed to be going well until one night when left on their own, Luigi did attack Catherine, shattering her porcelain doll in the process. Mary came home to find her child unconscious. And a few weeks later, it became apparent exactly how Luigi had attacked her when Catherine was found to be pregnant. Yeah.
Wow.
Mary kicked that motherfucker out, but he returned once the baby was born.
No need.
Yeah. And so the only way he would leave was once Mary told him that the baby had died, and then he finally disappeared.
You know, I know the bar is in hell, but I have to give props to Mary here for actually kicking him out and like keeping him away from her daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like there are so many stories where people are kind of like, well, especially if there's a pregnancy involved, where they're like, well, sucks this happened, but
now you're married.
You have to marry him now.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Maybe it was because he was already married, so he couldn't do right
and
by
related
her,
you know? I guess so.
And related, yeah. Exactly. Disgusting.
Yeah.
They didn't go to the police as Mary was afraid of the stigma on the family, so not just Catherine but like the whole family would be stigmatized.
There goes Mary's
kudos,
good graces.
Exactly.
Yeah.
A few years later, Catherine would met Rocco Danino and they fell in love. Like head over heels. This is age appropriate. So this was like around when she was 15, which in the 1920s was an acceptable age to be like, I'm in love and get married.
That's 25 then.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, exactly. You know how it's like inflation? It's like, what is that in today's age?
Today's age.
Ageflation. Yeah. Ageflation.
Yes, exactly. So they left New York because Catherine's like, I'm getting the fuck out of here. Bad memories here, and they go to Evanston, Illinois, in part to escape Luigi, who had just started to harass Catherine.
Ugh.
All was fine, even when Catherine started receiving, this is the craziest thing, blackmail letters from Luigi threatening to expose her secret.
Okay.
What secret?
You're gonna expose yourself at the same time?
Yeah. Apparently, like, at this time, and it's just starting to change, but he is right in that she would have been, he wouldn't have
absolutely
been
yeah
in
yeah
as much trouble as she would have been for being attacked as a child.
So stupid.
I mean, I still feel like there are places and people who feel that way. Like, you know, people bend themselves in half to try and make sexual assault your fault.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Well, I just saw a TikTok the other day where there was a woman who sounded like a middle-aged woman called in to this podcast or whatever and was basically like trying to ask like if she should leave her husband who had gotten in trouble for like sexting a 13-year-old or whatever.
Yes.
You should.
And
you should leave.
She was even saying, she had said, she was like, well, and he said that she was really coming on to him. And the podcaster was like, whoa, 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 whoa,
she's
whoa.
She's 13. You're an adult. Like, and that was part of when you watched Quiet on Set,
unbelievable,
right? And, you know, everything that happened to Drake Bell. they were talking about all these people who had written letters of support for his assaulter.
Exactly Brian where my mind went, by the way.
And two of them, and this breaks my heart because Boy Meets World was like everything. I own it on DVD. Like, it was like everything to me when I was a kid. And I had a big crush on Ryder Strong. And Ryder Strong and Will Friedle, who were both on Boy Meets World, they worked with Brian Peck and they wrote letters of support for him when they were in their early 20s. And they tried to get ahead of, they knew that Quiet on Set was coming out and they were trying to get ahead of the press for it. So they made a statement on, they have a podcast together, and they made a statement on their podcast. And basically part, and they did like apologize and things like that. However, one of the things that one of them said, I don't remember which one, was that Brian had basically convinced them that, like, yes, like things had gotten out of hand, but that it was a quote unquote jailbait situation. That this kid had seduced him somehow. And I'm like, we gotta fucking stop. You're an adult. Yeah. You're like, at the end of the day, what you choose to do, regardless of a teenager's or anyone else's actions, is on you. Like, 100. Fucking point blank, period. Stop it.
Yep.
Yep.
Yep. So she started receiving blackmail letters from Luigi threatening to expose her secret. So she ignored them, hoping that he would lose interest. But that crazy motherfucker wrote letters to Rocco and like a whole bunch of other family members, basically admitting to being a pedophile. Mm-hmm. And because everything sucks, people were blaming her, and it caused a strain on her marriage as it, quote unquote, put a stain on her honor. And Rocco eventually kicked her out, which put Catherine on her revenge mission.
Just shitty, shitty men all around, all the way around. Mm-hmm. This poor woman has been done dirty by seemingly every man in this story so far. So
yeah, Catherine donned glasses and different disguises and went to seek her target. She finally found out he went to the same barber every week and decided to lay in wait. So on November 13th, 1926, she was by the barber in hiding, and she was waiting for 9 hours by the shop and finally had her chance. He exits the shop. She shot him in the chest, in the arm when he tried to defend himself, and then finally stood over him and fired the fatal shot. She then tried to shoot herself, but the gun jammed. She kept repeating to onlookers, many of them women who just passed out after seeing the crime.
Because it's 1926 and women be like, fainting all over the place. I got the vapors.
Yeah. She kept on repeating to the onlookers, he broke my doll. Isn't that awful?
Oh my God, that is the saddest thing I've ever fucking heard.
Isn't that awful?
That is
makes
so
me
sad.
Tear up.
Wow.
When arrested, Catherine would tell officers, whatever they do with me, I'm glad I shot him. I killed him, and I'm sorry I killed him, but I'm not sorry he is dead. So she faced the electric chair and charged with murder, and was held without bail. However, when the public heard her confession and saw the blackmail letters, kudos to them, because they got pissed, feeling she fully was justified in what she fucking did.
Mm-hmm. We support women's rights and wrongs. That's right. Yes.
So prominent lawyer Dorothy Frooks assisted in her defense with a blank check from Harry K. Thaw, who's actually husband of Evelyn Nesbitt, which is another tainted love we've done.
Good tainted love story.
Yeah.
And even Woodrow Wilson's daughter would attend the trial to support Catherine. The biggest bombshell would hit, though, when it was discovered that Catherine was pregnant, which explains why she was so distraught when Rocco threw her out. To determine her state of mind at the time of the shooting, they actually submitted her to the psychopathic ward in Bellevue Hospital for evaluation. Her husband, Rocco, was still at this time renouncing her and was worried about the stigma associated now not with the crime. So he's like, the stigma associated with like being SA'd was one thing. Now you're a murderer and is still like renouncing her. But I think the public sentiment got to him.
Well, that's what I was about to say. I'm like, bro, do you realize mm-hmm. like you look like a fucking asshole right now? You're worried about her yeah. damaging your family's reputation. By not supporting her, you are damaging your family's reputation. Stop it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he finally comes around Christmas. So he was laden with gifts and beaming with joy around the announcement of his child. And he visits Catherine. This lifts her spirits, and saying, like, all my life, I've never known a happy Christmas. This one will be my happiest. So he does come around. I think, you know, it's difficult. Sometimes I'm trying to figure out how to phrase this in the nicest way possible to not piss anybody yeah. off. But you know how some people have, like, wrong ideas. Mm-hmm. It's been very difficult for me to give people grace when eventually they do come around to the right side.
Mm-hmm.
I think I just struggle with forgiveness in that way.
Yeah.
Where I'm like,
well, I mean, if she was able to forgive him, then I suppose that's what really matters in this situation. Like, you know, I'm not in her shoes. If she ended up happy mm-hmm. in the end, then that's what matters the most. And it is a struggle, right? Because it's like, it's a different time period, yada, yada, yada. But there were people who would have, and I do understand, like, societally, the social stigma of it mm-hmm. and that stuff really mattered at that time, especially. So it's not to say that there's nothing to that. However, I do still think it's a character thing. Like, I think that like Rocco's got some work to do on his fucking character, because there are plenty of husbands who would have stuck by and supported their wives through something like that. And he chose not to. Mm-hmm. And it's like, he did come around, but look at how much fucking damage was done. If he had supported her right. from the beginning, mm-hmm. then mm-hmm. maybe none of the rest of it would have even happened.
Yeah. So now when the time for the verdict was going to be read, because like everyone kept expecting that the charges would be dropped. And like, even though public sentiment was on her side and everything, like law enforcement was like, yeah, but we can't condone vigilante stuff. And, you know, also this is a big thing for like, this would end up being a big thing for how they end up treating juvenile defendants for a while. Then we, of course mm-hmm. we went back to throwing kids in jail for life and stuff. But, you know, technically yeah. she is, you know, under 18. But when the time for the verdict was going to be read, the judge looked and said, I do not condone your act. Your act was criminal, but the court feels the law has been vindicated by your plea. You stand before the world mm-hmm. a confessed and acknowledged felon. But I want you and your husband to return to your home and start life afresh. Sentence is suspended.
Oh,
so she would avoid malicious prosecution and the death penalty with probation, and was remanded to the custody of a woman probation officer. So Catherine was barely able to control her sobs of happiness. And Mrs. Loeb, president of the Child Welfare Committee, asked that this case be held as precedent to stand for other judges as the pattern for similar cases. And yeah. Harry K. Thaw was the first to shake her hand as she was freed. Now,
Catherine, that is a much better situation than I thought was going to happen in 1926 for this woman. Right. I'm not going to lie to you.
Catherine and her husband lived out the rest of their days in Miami Beach, Florida, having two children. She, Rocca, would pass away in the 70s. Catherine lived till 1992.
Wow.
Holy shit.
Passing away the ripe old age of 82 years old.
Oh, wow.
So, and wow. yeah, that is the revenge story of Catherine Danino.
You know, we rarely get a happy ending on this segment of this show.
But it feels good. Yeah, right?
It feels right.
Someone did die.
Of course, we're never going to advocate for murder like on this show, but that's as happy of an ending as you can possibly have in right. this kind of situation. Yeah. yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
So there you go. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's, I happened upon a Medium article that
always
that really got
always
me
a fucking medium article.
And then I got to use my, because when I do ancestry.com, it gives you a subscription to newspapers.com.
Oh, the best.
So I got to read like old timey newspaper articles, which was very fun.
The best.
I felt like I was doing like the microfiche in the library again.
Yes.
It was so fun.
It was like,
yes. Oh my God. Ah, microfiche.
Good times.
What are you guys watching this week?
Well, as I said, I forced myself to watch something other than something that's Vanderpump Rules related. And I did watch What Jennifer Did on Netflix, which is about another tainted love story that's actually been on my list for a long time that we have not done, the Jennifer Pan story. It's a pretty famous case. And yeah, it's a documentary about that case on Netflix. I would say it's okay. I mean, I've watched plenty of things about that case. Listened to things. I think there's like maybe a couple parter case file, like an old case file episode about that case that I would recommend over the documentary. The only thing worth seeing in the documentary is you get to watch all of the interrogation video.
Her performance.
Her behavior, is an interesting thing to see. So, if you're interested in that case, then give that a watch. Give that a go.
Interesting. I have been not watching anything. Honestly, my week's been insane. I moved again. I'm still in Hamburg, but I just moved to a different location. So it's just been settling in my new place. And then I literally have not had any time to watch not even a Grey's Anatomy, unfortunately.
Oh, no.
I know.
I actually started watching Fallout on Amazon Prime.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is it good?
It is so fucking good. It's really good. The fucking production design. Like, listen, I only know Fallout from watching dudes play it or whatever.
Same.
But, like, you know, I don't know. But the acting, the performances, so good. The set design, so good. The story, so good. Kyle MacLachlan's in it. Fucking Walter Goggins is amazing in it. It's really, really great. So I definitely recommend checking it out. Even if you're not a gamer person or don't know the story, it will still get you. This is by far like a really great TV show.
Wow.
Very fun.
Okay. High praise.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Well, hey, if you guys have something that we should watch, if you have a terrible date story, or if you just want to reach out and say hello, go to our one-stop shop of a website. It's mywordstatepodcast.com, and we love you so much.
Cheers.